You are listening to WPVM LP 103.7 in Asheville, North Carolina. And globally at WPVMFM.org.
Well, howdy, buckaroos and buckarettes.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. The weekend will bring plenty of sunshine with just a few weather hiccups along the way. Areas of fog could develop during the morning hours, and some of it may get pretty thick, so watch for reduced visibility if you are out early. There is also a small chance for a passing shower or storm. Afternoon highs will run from around 90 into the lower 90s, with nighttime temperatures near 70. I'm Nick Dawson on Radio Asheville, 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Broadcast on the Pacifica Network and WPVM-FM and featured on over 100 radio, TV, and podcast platforms nationwide. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern or listen anytime online. Visit DawnMarieWestmoreland.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Resilience Realm. If it's your first time, so glad to have you here. You know what? About a year ago, I got into learning how to make art, painting, drawing, sketching, all kinds of medium. And I did it because I always felt I might have a creative note in me. And I found that I have more than I realized. But it was also a way to help me to cope with my mom's advancing health issues. I'm the caregiver. I'm the one with all the responsibilities. And after years of responsibility, watching a loved one, my mother, who I adore, but it's been years. It's probably been over 7 to 8 years of constant watching out for my mom. I felt myself getting tired, burned out, and needing something as a positive distraction. Dr. Vasu, we're so happy to have you on here. Now, you have a medical degree. You were a medical doctor first?
Yes, I was.
And then you went into artwork. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? I'm sure the listeners want to know all about it.
Yeah, sure. Before I start about myself, I want to tell you, Dawn, that what you found by indulging in some of these artful activities make you more grounded, right? It helps you deal and calms you down. It helps you deal with all the emotions you go through watching your mother suffer. And at times feeling helpless, but this kind of resilience and calm is so important for the caregivers and care providers too. And I'm so glad you talked about it and we started off on that. But let me tell you about how I came to be doing what I'm doing right now. I was in the peak of my career being a full-fledged academic pediatric gastroenterologist. And then when I had to step back, the biggest question was, what am I going to do with myself? And what is going to be my identity when I was no longer the chief of pediatric gastroenterology or a tenured professor, a mentor researcher, and all that? And it was very humbling to know that, yes, my life is still going on, but I no longer have many of those titles and roles because nobody is going to beat me and ask me this and have phone calls or research meetings and things like that. Although some of that still continued in the post-retirement phase because whatever projects I had, I didn't leave them undone. But I had to find something that would make me feel good about myself, about my personal state as myself, not having all those titles. And that's where I stumbled into art after having tried a few different things. But once I found art, I persevered. It was very humbling, like I told you, because like I was a nobody in that art world. I had to take drawing and painting lessons as a beginner. And the first few years were very frustrating because it was not like one takes a lesson and immediately becomes a master. It takes years of practice. I think what they say about 10,000 hours to become an expert at something, that you have to be at it. I think it's very true for every profession.
10,000 hours.
Yes, you have to be doing something for 10,000 hours before you can become an expert or a master of that particular craft or profession.
Now, Dr. Summer Watson, who introduced us, said that you had won some awards. What kind of awards have you won with your artwork?
One of the first reconciling big ones was that during COVID, I liberated myself and started to make more abstract art rather than representational art. And there was a call from Washington Post on COVID art, and I submitted a piece. And that was listed amongst top 20 in the nation. And the year after that, CDC approached me saying they wanted to use that particular piece of art on the cover of their Journal of Emerging Infectious Diseases, which was devoted to COVID-19. I really felt like my medicine and art came together. It was like a pivotal moment in my art career that I felt I was fulfilling both the purposes. And that kind of made me feel and appreciate resilience as a quality, that it made me go beyond myself. Like, yes, I was doing something new. I was kind of evolving into somebody new. But that was still part of my career. And I was doing it on the foundation of my medical career. And then I felt that this can really become so purposeful if I continue to do this, but fulfill my missions with it, one of which is empowering women. So like I make paintings, putting them in role models, like powerful figures, inspiring figures. I also make a lot of abstract art, like devoted on emotions. Or right now I have started a new project called Continuum. Like, it's dealing with how the repair of earth happens after an earthquake. Like, I was inspired to start it after seeing the havoc in Venezuela in June. Then I thought I have to start something like this, that I have talked about the healing of body and dealt with it all my life. I want to look at it from the perspective of how the earth heals, you know, when an upheaval happens, like say a volcano or an earthquake and things like that. So that is my new series. So there are things that inspire you and you carry on and keep on working on new projects. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing about the transition is that one cannot feel afraid taking baby steps and starting afresh and gradually progress, then you will become who you are meant to be.
I'm curious, Dr. Basu, when I started art, I think it's been a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. I was nervous. I was working, you know, I started with a lady named Camille Dano, who lives 15 minutes from me, 50 years of teaching art at university level. Very prestigious work. And I was very intimidated by starting artwork. I mean, I felt like I might have a creative streak in me, like I mentioned earlier, but I was scared because I'm more logical minded. So if somebody's out there that's dealing with some kind of heartache, traumas, stress in their life, which I'm afraid there's a lot of people out there, where do they begin with artwork so that they're not intimidated as much as I was?
That's a great question, Dawn. You can start with pre-made artworks, like, you know, those colored by number and things like that. Or you can just pick up some books on art and start coloring again without numbers even. Let yourself go spontaneously, or just doodle, make marks, make lines, make shapes, just experiment with colors. But the most important thing is that you don't want to start this thinking that you're going to create like a John Sargent Singer, you know, portrait or anything. You just have to be humble about this and be willing to experiment. It's the process of doing this kind of thing that is calming, not the anticipation of what will end up at the end products. So it is the journey of making all these marks, putting all these colors or putting words in it. And it's not just visual art that I mean, Dawn. I mean, art has so many genres. You know, it can be singing, dancing, sculpting, gardening, whatever, you know, decorating, redoing a room by yourself, or even a corner of the room, or changing a painting, because all these kinds of activities will just help your brain calm down and make you more grounded and feel ready to face whatever is next.
So I want to ask you, Dr. Basu, for the people who are out there right now that have health issues, whatever it is, and it's my understanding that 80% of most health issues are coming from stress. That's what I've heard from the different scientists. Do you feel that if somebody engages in, I'm going to call it the healing arts, you know, working with artwork, do you feel like that could either help to reduce their symptoms or to cure their problems as a doctor?
You know, when I was actively practicing, this art therapy, which is a big thing right now, was not in the mainstream. And I feel that if the person, the patient, I mean, engages with some kind of creative activity, whatever their niche may be, it will certainly help them deal with the stress better. And whatever component of stress is there, it might be eased, but it's not a cure for whatever their ailment is. Sometimes it does calm you down and you are better at accepting whatever life is, you know, giving you. And one of them is chronic disease, which were much more difficult to deal with than acute condition. Like you have appendicitis, your appendix is taken out and you're fine. So you were sick for a few days, but now you are as good as new. But with other chronic diseases, it can be years or a lifelong condition for which you need to take medication. Mm-hmm. So I feel that indulging in some of these kind of creative activities will definitely help them handle the condition much better. And if, especially in the field of mental health, it may have even better outcome-related process than it might be with the physical ailment. But the most important thing is that if you like doing it and it was possible for you to get in a zone so that you forgot about everything else, that just disengages the stress, you know, from our brain and let the healthy neurotransmitters become more active and deal with it.
Okay. So you brought up men, and I know I've interviewed a lot of people over the last 7-8 years as a radio talk host, and I was a podcaster before that. You know, men's mental health, and I know you know this, Dr. Basu, you know, there's still stigma around men's mental health and they're afraid to address it. Do you think it would benefit men to get more involved in the arts to help with their well-being and their mental health?
Absolutely. I don't think it's related to gender. It's just related to act of performing it. So anyone who is open to trying it and not just try one time and give it up, at least give it a week or so to know whether you will like it. Because when you start, say, for example, today, and you're not in a good mood in any way, and you have to give at least 10, 15 minutes at it, you know, you can't do anything in 5 minutes and expect miracles to happen. So I think men can benefit equally by practicing some of these things. And you don't have to get about thinking that I'm going to become an artist when you start doing something like that. I did not set out to become an artist when I started to learn to make art, but gradually it happened because I liked it. And in dealing with short-term things or stress and all that, it can just be an activity that helps you feel better and make less rash decisions. It makes you more grounded and more balanced in your view, so that when you face with a difficult situation, then you won't just impulsively say or do something that you might regret later.
Before you found artwork, Dr. Basu, what did you do to stay grounded to reduce your stress when you were working in the medical career field? That had to have been extremely stressful. Had to be.
It was, but believe me, when you are in the middle of all these things, sometimes you feel that you can do it all and you don't need it
Yes.
anything, and you can just keep on carrying it. And I kept on carrying like that. You know, when I was doing my residency, we had to do a 36-hour call, you know, that you probably didn't even get to sleep for 2 or 3 hours on some of those calls. Since then, the conditions for residents have vastly improved and things are much better. I think there is even role about de-stressing and thinking about doing some recreational activities even as you are working. But all these concepts are new. You know, before this, we just worked and worked and worked. I really didn't do anything. The only thing I did, I have to say, is that I joined a book club, you know, because I was not taking time to do anything besides reading medical journals, even in my spare time. So I joined a book club and I started reading a little bit more, because when you belong to a book club, you will indulge in something extracurricular and read. Although I read a lot, I still read a lot, but now I do it with audiobooks because I can paint by listening to audiobooks.
I love audiobooks. I as soon as I hit, get in my vehicle, I'm turning on an audiobook because I find it's sometimes hard to sit down and read, physically read like I used to. But that audiobook is a nice way to pass time while I'm, maybe heading out to a medical facility or an appointment or something like that. What is your favorite medium? Do you like acrylics, oil paints, watercolor? What's your favorite, Dr. Basu?
I primarily work only in acrylics and mixed media because I like to take pieces of paper and things like that and also stick them, some writings and all. But I basically only use acrylics. I don't use oils or watercolor.
So when you paint, I know I've learned over this past 18 months that you can use more than just a paintbrush to make different effects. Would you tell the listeners what other tools you might use to make your artwork beside a paintbrush or in addition to a paintbrush?
That's so interesting you asked that. Because I'm telling you, artists will use anything and everything, you know, whatever people will throw in their discard pile or anything, we will find a use for it. So, starting right from the sponge you use to clean kitchen counters or squeegees to clean the bathrooms and stuff like that. I have seen reels where people are using brooms and brayers, sponges, cloths to wipe, or towels to make imprints. I mean, you name it and you can try it in art. It's a very liberated field, you know, and to be able to use some of these unusual tools sometimes also makes you feel that you discovered something new.
I certainly agree with that. This past week, I had an art class with Camille, my art teacher, and she grabbed a sponge, as you mentioned, from the kitchen, cut it up, and I thought, what in the world did she do? And because I was working on a abstract, a real mood, I call it a real moody abstract, you know, and I thought, how in the world is this going to look? And she showed me, and I was like, oh, I know my mouth just dropped. I was like, wow, I would have never. So I love having a mentor, an art mentor. Would you call yourself at this time an art mentor for people?
I wouldn't, but hopefully maybe somebody will consider a role model, because in the sense that you can move from one profession to another and try and be, you know, as good as you possibly can. And I feel my career is still evolving. Mentor is something I have never had luxury of having. Even in my medical career, I had to sort of nurture myself
and oh my.
Become a mentor. Yes. And so when I was the division chief and started the fellowship, I made sure that I was the work mother for all of those people, you know, who were under me, and I would give them projects and do that. Mm-hmm. As far as art is concerned, I don't teach art. Maybe primarily because, Dawn, I feel that I haven't studied art from scratch. Like, I don't have a degree in art. I am self-taught. So at times I feel that I just want to produce things that is going to be calming and healing to people rather than get into teaching. So,
okay. Would you say that's your mission, Dr. Vasu? Are you taking on clients this time of any kind?
Yes, I do commissions, you know, so people can reach out to me. I just now finished the work for a 50th anniversary request from the daughter of the couple. And I asked them, you know, what they liked and all that. And I don't like to make portraits per se, because they are very time consuming and very exact. And I don't like to do that. So I asked her what were their interests and what colors they like and what style. And then I came up with some ideas and she was very happy with what I did.
Mm. I'm curious. I see lots of artwork in nursing homes and medical facilities up and down the hallways. Do you think that having some kind of artwork, if it fits in a patient's room, whether in a nursing home or whether they're in the, you know, well, not the ER, but, you know, in the hospital in general, do you think artwork would help people stay calmer, more grounded while they're going through their experiences?
Absolutely. It would really help them, because besides making art, even looking at art, you know, helps you calm down. And I think it, especially abstract art, might spur your imagination. You might start to think and focus more on, what am I seeing? What is this person trying to say? And you look at it from different angles and see different things. But apart from that, even having nature paintings in patient's room or photographs and things like that can be very calming, because there is nothing like nature, you know, that can soothe you, like taking a walk in the park and all that. So if you can bring some of those colors in the room or some of those scenes, I personally think that's very calming, and not just for the patient, also for their visitors, because I dealt with children all my life. So their anxieties are also transmitted, you know, to children and from children back to the parents. So even they might benefit by it. You know, I mean, hopefully all these stays are short term so that, you know, they don't have to keep on looking at the same things. But sometimes there is a thing called rotation of the art, because people may get tired of just looking at it without noticing it. When that time comes and people are just passing by, I think it's time to change that artwork.
I think most people love art that is real, I mean, representational. But then again, you know, you mentioned abstract, and that can evoke different feelings. Can you explain just your opinion? How does it make us open up and relate to it?
When you look at something and focus on something, it kind of takes you away from whatever was stressing you. Mm-hmm. And that really helps release of healthy neurotransmitters, of which dopamine is one. And that, when transmitted to the forebrain, which is the front of your head, you know, it will help you calm down and through the neural connections and all that, build up the reward system and make you feel more grounded and soothed. So I feel just by looking at it like that, it helps you deal with a stressful situation better. And in abstract art, I think you can let your imagination go. And for healthcare facilities, I think even the abstract art has to be kind of soothing and calming, not the wild, very dark kind of art. And people make all kinds of arts, but I think people in these facilities have to be careful about what is chosen.
If somebody doesn't create, they're like, well, I don't want to create it, I just want to see it. What are your recommendations for people who want to see artwork? Where should they go?
I think most important in the first place is try going to museums. Then you learn more about different kinds of art and different collections and learn about artists. But I think looking at books on art, going to galleries or art shows from local art centers, I think that those places could be first inspiring spot.
Well, going forward, Dr. Basu, what is your mission? I know you've said it a few times, but we're wrapping up our chat today. What is your mission with artwork today for those that might be just coming in listening?
Well, my mission with artwork is, of course, we talked about healing art so that people feel calmer. But my other missions through which I accomplish all this is empowering women. So, and also raising awareness for mental health and helping a neurodivergent population. So I have teamed up with some of these charities who do work on all these missions. And I donate 50% of the sales of my large original artworks to whatever the customer chooses as their charities. And that makes me feel very fulfilled and happy that I'm contributing to the community as I'm fulfilling my missions and passions through practicing art.
That is so impressive that you would be generous and give 50% of the purchase away. That is incredible. I'm sure that makes people feel good, because I think art has great meaning. And the fact that you're willing to be generous with it gives it even more meaning. As we wrap up our interview, I'm sure people are going to want to reach out to you, find you maybe on LinkedIn, your website. Where can people find out more about you and connect with you, Dr. Basu?
I think the best place maybe to visit my website. It is www.vasutolia.com. dot art, VASUTOLIA.art. And you can look at the art, and there is an inquiry form, and then you can sign up for the newsletter where you will get a monthly update of the new art I am creating and what else is going on in my world, and share little tidbits and stories about art and how I'm making art, what podcast I have been. And they can listen to the links from there. So that way we can make a more personal connection and have a conversation if they reach out and say, and they also get